literally like a 1 week gap between declaring victory and help China, please, China, please. We are unironically making Russia look competent. Trump has no idea what he's doing.
In the last 2 weeks, they weren't supposed to go after all these other countries in the Middle East. Those missiles were set to go after them. So they hit Qatar, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait. Nobody expected that. We were shocked.
Phenomenal stuff, really. Just nothing. Securing international confidence. Yeah, I saw Trump begged for assistance from like every other country in the world to please help open the Strait of Hormuz. And everyone said no, obviously. He even begged China. Super, super cool. It's going very badly for us right now. There's a bunch of stuff that I want to take a look at from Trump's recent press conferences and conversations with reporters, if I may. This is just from an hour or so ago.
We strongly encourage other nations whose economies depend on the Strait for blood. I mean, you know, these people literally need it. 90-95%.
Oh, here's the woman who, for some fucking reason, a couple hours ago, he disclosed the private information of her breast cancer.
Their energy or their oil comes out of the Strait, and they should be in here very happily helping us. And it's incredible. We have such great. We're number one in oil by double now. We drill, baby, drill.
Number one in oil by double.
Any other nation. And it's going to be soon triple any other nation. And that doesn't include Venezuela, who's been great. By the way, the relationship with Venezuela has been fantastic. Millions, literally millions of barrels of oil are being taken out. And it's been a great help. And it's been to their great benefit. The president has done a really good job. We get along with him really well. But we've taken out millions of barrels of oil and brought to Houston and other places for to the refineries. We have refineries set up specifically for that. And it's been a great relationship. And more and more is happening. It's a tremendous oil source. And we're stepping it up.
Like, the U.S. has the most advanced intel in the world. You would believe that the dark aspect, the feds didn't do everything in their power to prevent Trump from making the decision. Well, this is why I think it's so. And this is, again, this is like I talked about this a little bit yesterday, I guess, in the context of some liberal conversations that I've had. You need the material analysis. You need the historical materialism. What you have to understand is that we are now in a time in history that is utterly unique, because up until the Second World War, the powerful economic forces within a country or a kingdom benefited from the strength of that kingdom. In almost all cases, in the developed world or whatever, you know, the medieval Europe or whatever else, like, if there was a mercantile corporation or a company or just a wealthy individual and they resided in a country, they benefited from that country being powerful because it improved the economic prospects. It raised the ceiling for them. But now that is not the case. And as a consequence, a lot of things are falling apart. You know, we are the wealthiest country in the world, but things are getting noticeably shittier every year. And somehow we're running out of money, too.
Rapidly, the big companies are going in, and they will actually, numbers in a pretty short period of time, numbers that they've never been able to do, we'll be doing. There's a lot of oil under that land. We strongly encourage the other nations to get involved with us and get involved quickly and with great enthusiasm. I have that from a number of them, and I'd like to say their names, but frankly, I don't know if they would want me to or not, because maybe they don't want to be targeted. But I say, wouldn't matter if you're targeted or not, because this is a paper tiger that we're dealing with now. It wasn't a paper tiger 2 weeks ago. It's a paper tiger now.
He's still begging for people to come and help. Hold on. I feel like I've run it through these out of order. These clips from about 16 hours ago, from yesterday. It's going very well. It's going very, very well. Quiet, Piggy.
Like, as an example, in many cases, they're NATO countries. We're always there for NATO. We're helping them with Ukraine. As many, it's got an ocean in between us. Doesn't affect us, but we've helped them. It'd be interesting to see what country wouldn't help us when they've
very small endeavor.
It's going to be so fun to read these speeches written in text and history books. I have a bit of a black pill for you guys. The myth of the competent American presidency is important to the powers that be. They're going to continue to sainwash him even after his death, even in history books, 100, 200 years from now, unless the people in charge of society change. Because if you look back on this in a historical context, it's very obvious who the bad guys are. The people who print the textbooks are not going to want everyone to reflect on that fact. They will sainwash him.
Which is just keeping the straight open, that by comparison is small because Iran has very little firepower left.
What are the history books saying about Biden? I don't think they are yet. Oh wow, Dubai crude is over $150 per barrel. Doesn't necessarily mean that's going to transfer on to, like, that's going to be the price that everyone else ends up paying physically. But goddamn, we'll see how long it takes for the physical price to catch up. Time to buy a bicycle. It was always time to buy a bicycle.
So the president looks forward to meeting with President Xi in China. This is a trip I know he's long been looking forward to, and I know President
Xi has
been looking forward to welcoming President Trump. As for the dates, as you heard from the president last night, there's a possibility the trip could be delayed. We'll keep you posted on that, but these are leader-to-leader conversations that are happening, so as soon as we have an update, we'll provide the new dates.
Caroline, President Trump says that other countries should now step up to safeguard ships in the Straits of Hormuz. Why should other countries that were consulted about this war, that are involved in this war, now put their troops in harm's way?
Because these other countries are benefiting greatly from the United States military taking out the threat of Iran. The rogue Iranian regime has long not just posed a threat to the United States of America, but of course to our Gulf and Arab partners in the region. As you see, I believe Iran has struck more than 300 civilian targets in the Gulf region. If you think about Europe.
Doesn't seem like they're benefiting. Yeah, it is. It is pretty exceptional that even the like cucked vassal states to America, like the UK or Greece or whatever, they've all said no. I guess there are consequences to bad diplomacy, after all. It's pretty embarrassing. I'm trying to think. I don't know if there's ever been any administration or any regime in history as shameless as this one. I'm trying to think of what rivals like global superpower deliberately starts needless war in the Middle East for no reason and then says that they've won, but then also begs everyone else in the world to help them. I can't. Mesopotamia, you'd have to go back pretty far. The Nazis did not do this. Russia also did not do this. Can you think of something this transparent? Literally like a 1 week gap between declaring victory and help China, please. China, please. We are unironically making Russia look competent.
Their ballistic missile capability that the United States military is currently wiping out was a direct and imminent threat to our European allies as well as our bases in the region, which is why President Trump took this action in the first place. So these countries are absolutely benefiting from ensuring that Iran can never obtain a nuclear weapon. This is something not just the United States, but the entire Western world has agreed with for many, many years. So I think the president is absolutely right to call on these countries to do more, to help the United States to reopen the Strait of Hormuz so that we can stop this terrorist regime from restricting the free flow of energy. And the fact that they are doing so just underscores why President Trump needed to take this action in the first place.
The president just told the UK a few days ago that he doesn't need their ships, and now he says he does.
The president spoke on that last night. He said that he wished the UK had stepped up sooner and quicker, but he continues to speak with our allies in Europe and is calling on them to do more, just as he did when he called on them to step up with respect to their defense spending in NATO. He's calling them to do more here, and I think you'll see that come to fruition.
So why does the president feel like he needs 2,500 or so Marines in the Middle East right now?
I would defer you to the Pentagon on that troop movement, and it's not something I'm going to get ahead of the commander-in-chief on. Yeah, and look, I'm not going to get ahead of him on any options that may be on the table for the president.
If the U.S. pulls out of Iran, would the political blowback be enough to cause a total Republican collapse in the U.S., like a Dem supermajority in the House and Senate blowback? I mean, the Dems are also largely in favor of this conflict. At the very least, they're not really putting up much of a fight against it. I don't know what you guys have seen. I have not seen much Dem outrage at this conflict. I see a lot of, like, Trump has failed to do it competently, and Trump has failed to make his case for the war. But, you know, doesn't feel like they're really leading the charge on the subject, which is concerning, to say the least. Also, here, there's a relevant, like, snippet from the Wall Street Journal article, but we might well be reaching the, like, end state of Middle Eastern intervention. He could end the U.S. role in the war, preventing a wider conflict, but emboldening a hardline Iranian regime that'll claim victory and try to rebuild its arsenal. The president could continue the war, further decimating Iran, but risking adding to the total of 13 killed American service members as energy prices surge. Or the U.S. and Israel could stop bombing now, but plan to resume military strikes against Iran every year so as to keep it weak, a perpetual cycle of on and off war. Or in other words, permanent inflation, permanent MIC spending. So far, this seems to be what we're actually doing. Like Trump, you know, we bombed Iran last year. We're bombing Iran this year. We pull back, we do it again. We pull back, we do it again. Maybe a Democratic administration gives us a little bit of like a longer lull in the action. And then Republicans come in, they do it again over and over. $50 trillion to the MIC. Not really an exaggerated number. It could actually end up being $50 trillion. And not to give credit to Mr. Orwell further than he needs, but this is also kind of the premise of 1984 to an extent. Military spending not being used to actually shift the borders around the world, but actually to reinforce existing hegemons and also to be a dump for money. The whole point of military spending in 1984 was that the alternative to spending it on the military would be to spend it on improving people's lives. So they chose instead to build floating super fortresses that they would then sink. You know, an enormous billions and billions of dollars in manpower trapped in a machine that they then send to the bottom of the ocean. Similar things have been happening in Somalia since Clinton, right? Well, we've been doing versions of this around the world, yeah, but this would be a particularly egregious example.
So Italy and Germany both indicated not willing to send ships to the Strait of Hormuz in case NATO refuses to do that. What is plan B for President Trump?
Right now, the president is being very clear to NATO and to our allies in Europe what he wants them to do. And again, I think you're going to see that come to fruition. I would just add on one scheduling note, later this afternoon, you'll see the president yourselves. He just told me he wants to bring you all in for the Kennedy Center board meeting lunch, so you can get ready for that if you're part of the pool today. And then, of course, at 3:30 this afternoon, he will be signing an executive order alongside the vice president to formally launch the anti-fraud task force, which will investigate fraud across the country. The vice president will be leading that. So you'll see them in the Oval Office later today. So I'll leave it to the president to answer the rest of your questions. Yeah.
Incredible performance from the press secretary here. 3 whole minutes.
Where does that stand right now? And has the president set a deadline that he wants to see China take any potential action?
No, I just answered the question. It's a leader-to-leader conversation at this point. President looks forward to visiting China. The dates may be moved. You know, as commander-in-chief, it's his number one priority right now to ensure the continued success of this operation, Epic Fury. So we'll keep you posted on the dates as soon as we can.
That's a rough 28. No kidding. Saw this clip from a 60 Minutes interview. I wonder if Trump's going to call for the dismantling of the... I'm surprised that Barry Weiss let this one get through. I can't show it because 60 Minutes is copyright, but I can probably get away with the audio, the interview of the former White House energy advisor.
I've worked in the White House during an energy crisis. There are no policy solutions to a prolonged closure of the Strait of Hormuz.
You're saying there's not much a White House, a president can do to stop this bleeding.
You open up the toolkit, and the tools in there, the options range from marginal through symbolic to deeply unwise. Escorts are a sideshow. Strategic stock releases are a sideshow.
Gas tax holiday?
Gas tax holiday, sideshow. You got to restore the flow of the Strait of Hormuz.
Even if the White House, President Trump declared an...
Wrong window. Do you people not listen? Are you like actually, are you deaf? I can't show video because 60 Minutes is copyright. I can probably get away with audio. Did you not hear me when I said that? Did you think, did that just blur out?
End of this war today, tomorrow. Is there any guarantee that Iran would open up the strait and it's back to business as usual?
No guarantee. It's not like there's a big gate that swings open in front of the Hormuz and Iran locks the gate. So all Iran has to do is demonstrate every day, every other day, that it has the means and the ability to attack ships in the strait, and that will be enough. I've worked...
Yeesh.
What we're going to do is we're going to... we could take a few questions from the press, and then after that we'll have our meeting, and we have a little lunch for the board, so we'll have a little...
Little lunch.
It's an honor to have you all here.
Tasty
it's,
little
so
lunch.
So many of you, Jimmy, so many of you are friends. It's a great honor.
I appreciate
to have you
they put covers on the drink glasses so that Trump can't, it's like a sign that Trump hasn't roofied them.
With the Trump Kennedy Center. Okay, yes, please. CNN. Hey, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not CNN. I'm Daily Wire, but thank you for the question. Numerous countries have told me they are on their way. Can you give us a hint what they are, what that entails, how soon they might be there?
You mean who are the countries?
Yes, sir.
I'd rather
Trump has claimed that countries are saying they're on their way, but no country has said they're on their way. And also, you can't hide if a country is on their way, because then they would send a fleet, which you could identify. You would know if they were sending a fleet. So no one's on their way.
Not say yet, but we'll be announcing Marco Rubio and the various people that are doing that will be announcing. And we do, I have to tell you, we have some that are really enthusiastic. They're coming already. They've already started to get there. You know, it takes a little while to get there. It's like, in some cases, you have to travel an ocean. So it doesn't go that fast, but it'll go fast. And we have some that are fairly local that are doing it. But we'll give you a list. Some are very enthusiastic and some are less than enthusiastic. And I assume some will not do it. I think we have one or two that will not do it that we've been protecting for about 40 years at, you know, tens of billions of dollars, Mr. Speaker. So I'll be reporting that to you in the House and the Senate. And I'll say, why are we protecting countries that don't protect us? And I've always felt that was a weakness of NATO. We were going to protect them. But I always said, when in need, they won't protect us. Now, this isn't need. Need would be one of the big boys. But I will say that we built the greatest military in the world, and we protect people.
Currently losing against Iran, like very easily. It turns out there are strategic objectives that you just can't accomplish with military might. It doesn't help also that we had apparently like 5 interceptors in the whole world. You know, we didn't have ammo. We built the rockets or the platforms. We didn't build the ammunition. That was a little stupid.
And if we need their mine boats, or if we need anything, any piece of apparatus that they may have because of a situation that they have, they should be jumping to help us, because we've helped them for years stay out of wars. Yeah, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Can you tell us if you have spoken with French President Macron about the coalition to reopen the Strait of Hormuz? Have you
That's
been speaking with the French president?
Accent.
What does that mean?
Have you been speaking with the French President Macron about the coalition to reopen the Strait of Hormuz?
Yeah, I have spoken to him. He's been, on a scale of 0 to 10, I'd say he's been an 8. Not perfect, but it's France.
Are you confident?
We don't expect perfect.
Maybe I don't regret voting for him in 2024, 2020, 2016, and also in his original presidential run in 1992.
France will help with the reopening of Strait of Hormuz?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think he's going to help. I mean, I'll let you know.
Fuck, it wasn't 1992. He mulled a run in 2004. Okay, that's my bad. Sorry, 2004.
No, I spoke to him yesterday. I don't do.
Oh, he ran in 2000 as well? Damn, he's been gunning for this for a while.
Hard selling them, because my attitude is we don't need anybody. We're the strongest nation in the world. We have the strongest military by far in the world. We don't need them. But
it'd be nice.
I'm almost doing it in some cases, not because we need them, but because I want to find out how they react. Because I've been.
Mr. President, sir, you're not supposed to say that. Mr. President, you're not supposed to admit that you're doing a shit test. Mr. President.
I've been saying for years that if we ever did need them, they won't be there. Not all of them, but they won't be there. I was very surprised with the United Kingdom, because the United Kingdom, 2 weeks ago, I said, why don't you send some ships over? And he really didn't want to do it. I said, you don't want to do it. We've been with you. You're our oldest ally. And we spend a lot of money on, you know, NATO and all of these things to protect you. I mean, we're protecting them. We're working with them on Ukraine. Ukraine's thousands of miles away, separated by a vast ocean. We don't have to do that, but we did it. Well, Biden did it. I mean,
next to him is trying not to laugh. Actually, Susie Wiles is one of the few competent people who's been trying to rein Trump in for like a decade now. And also, she just got diagnosed with breast cancer, and Trump just disclosed that information to the public.
To be honest with you, Biden got taken to the cleaners, but we worked with them in Ukraine. We don't need to work with them in Ukraine. And then they tell us that do you have a mind chip around and they don't want to do it? I think it's terrible. No, I was very surprised. I told him, you know, we requested two aircraft carriers, which they had, and he didn't really want to do it. And then right after the war essentially ended, you know, meaning they were obliterated, he said, I would like to send the aircraft carriers. I said, I don't need them after the war has ended and won. I need it before the war. So I was very upset with, not upset, I was not happy with the UK. I think they'll be involved, yeah, maybe. But they should be involved enthusiastically. We've been protecting these countries for years with NATO, because NATO is us. You can ask Putin. Putin fears us. He doesn't fear, he has no fear of Europe whatsoever. He fears the United States of America and the military that was built by me in the first term. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President. You mentioned the significant amount of oil that China derives from the Middle East. What is the status of your conversation with President Xi in terms of getting China to cooperate, in terms of making the Strait of Hormuz safe for those oil tankers?
Yeah, so China is a great example. They get 91% of their oil from the Hormuz Straits, which we protected for years. And it always bothered me that we have these countries. Japan gets 95% of its from the Straits, the Hormuz Straits. And it always bothered me that we're protecting and we don't need them.
Isn't Iran allowing for Chinese oil tankers to pass through? It's even funnier. America has allowed Iranian tankers to pass through.
We didn't need them before we started Dig We Must. Dig Me Must, that's the Trump policy of lots of oil. And we didn't use them very much. It used to be at 10%. Now it's at almost zero. We don't need, you know, we don't need oil. We have all the oil we need for ourselves. It's one of the great assets that we have.
They said that, but isn't that just them trying to save face? Well, the problem is we don't really have an alternative, because it's not good for anyone if we start striking full oil tankers from Iran. For one, that could flood the strait with, like, that could light the strait on fire, right? An oil tanker has a lot of oil in it. For two, that would piss China off, because that oil's headed to China. And we do need to, like, maintain our relationship with China to some extent. For three, it's not really in our modus operandi. Obviously, the Trump admin loves killing civilians, but, like, randomly striking oil tankers is not really, like, it doesn't really signal strength in the region. What would signal strength would be, like, blocking them or boarding them, but we can't currently do that, because if we seized control of one of their tankers, Iran would probably strike it. They would know exactly where it is. So it's, like, it is very funny, but yes, right now, the only tankers moving through the Strait of Hormuz, or at least the majority of them, are Chinese or Iranian. Yeah.
Double, more than double what anybody else in terms of oil production. We're at more than double any other country. So we don't need it, but we did it. It's almost, you could say we did it out of habit, which is not a good thing to do. But we did it because we have some good allies there. We have some great Middle Eastern countries there, Israel there. So we did it for a lot of reasons. But it always amazed me that we
appreciate him separating Israel from the great European countries, because everyone knows that Israel's European.
Did it. We never
or
asked
American.
For reimbursement. And it was really there to serve other countries, not us. And by the way, we have the sugar king. Same story. Look at that. Alfie Von Hul. Alfie, thank you both very much. It's, huh? Pepe. That's Pepe, yeah. Pepe. Hi, Pepe. How are you?
Hi, Pepe.
How are you? Is Alfie in the backstage?
No.
Huh? Is he sitting back there waiting for you? No? You doing all right?
Okay.
Pepe is a great friend of all of ours, I think, in the room. Tremendous. And we appreciate you being here. Great. Great to have you. Thank you.
Mr. President. Honored.
That's great. Both of you. Thank you very much. So go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, you've said that Iran does want to make a deal. Now, into the third week of this bombing campaign, what would that deal look like? What are the ask that you're making of the
government?
They
want to make a deal. They're talking to our people. I don't know if they say that to you. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Don't forget, they are a country that for years, I didn't know this until recently, they're a country based on...
Real question, how does it feel to have this rambling idiot as your president? Let me check your IP address. You could save me some time by telling me where you're from, because odds are you're from a vassal state of the United States. You're in even worse than the United States. You're in a country that does what we say, what we tell them to do, even though you don't benefit from it. Lower GDP per capita ass. Tell me, give me your goddamn... I'm not actually looking at your IP address. Sweden. Sweden doesn't really do what we tell it, I guess. We don't really care. I was hoping you were from France, the United Kingdom, Greece, Italy, Germany. Yeah, Sweden's okay, I guess. They're weird, but yeah. There's nothing you can make fun of Sweden for as an American. Their accents, I guess.
Disinformation. And now they're using disinformation plus AI. And that's a terrible situation. They showed all sorts of things happening in the last 2 weeks that never happened. Between their kamikaze boats that don't exist, between blowing up the aircraft carrier, one of the great ships in the world, the Abraham Lincoln, on fire. They showed it on fire. I called the general. I said, General, what's with the Abraham Lincoln? It looks like it's burning down. No, it's not burning down. Not a bullet was ever fired at it, sir. They know better. I said, this is my first glimpse of AI and what they've done with it. They showed buildings in Tel Aviv.
He truly believes it's AI? Probably, yeah. Trump doesn't know anything. He only knows what he's told, and he's told what he's told by people who are sycophants and know that he's really sensitive to negative information or criticism. So yeah, no, it's very possible that he doesn't think anything. Yeah, who knows?
Burning to the ground, high rises burning. They showed buildings in Qatar. They showed buildings in Saudi Arabia burning, and they weren't burning. They weren't hit. It was all AI-based. Terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, he might actually believe that there's been basically no damage to any of the Gulf states.
And that's their only, I think that's the only thing they do well. They're negotiating, and we always talk. When, you know, somebody said, well, would you talk? Why would you even talk to them? I talk to everybody, because sometimes good things come out of it. But I don't know if they're ready yet. They're taking a pounding. I don't know if they're ready yet. And we don't even know their leaders. Look, all of their leaders are dead, as far as we know. But they're all dead. We don't know who we're dealing with. We knocked out the first group. Then the second.
Do you really think there's a line of communication between Trump and Iran right now? Yeah, there's almost always a line of communication between countries. By definition, you have to maintain one. Do I think Iran is talking to America and negotiating? No, I don't think so at all. Iran has literally no reason to do that. The only foreign power that could really press on Iran right now is China, and I think China understands the damage being done to American hegemony right now is well worth the temporary increase in fuel cost that they have to deal with. Like, China relies very, very, very heavily on Iran's oil, but you know who else does? On oil from the Strait of Hormuz? You know who else does? South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, everyone.
Group met 88, met to pick the leader, because the first group was all dead, and the second group got knocked out, they're all dead. Then a third group met. I would think they're a little nervous about meeting. I don't know if they're nervous. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're crazy. If they're not nervous, then they're crazy. But we met with the next group, but we don't know who their leader is. We have people wanting to negotiate. We have no idea who they are. Yeah, please, Peter.
Thanks, President Trump. What are your advisors telling you about the Ayatollah's son, the new supreme leader? What are they telling you about
him? Well, it's not only them, it's you people. I mean, a lot of people are saying that he's badly disfigured. They're saying that he lost his leg, the one leg, and he's...
Do you think the Gulf states will push American bases out of the country after the war ends? Things would have to get extremely dire for that to be on the table. The Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, so on, they're aware of the fact that their whole deal, their whole, like, model for existing relies on the West continuing to prop them up. So if we don't, I don't know. They need that commerce. Like, the money that they bring in is the only thing that guarantees their continued position. I'm not sure. It would have to get really dire for them to do that.
You know, been hurt very badly. Other people are saying he's dead. Nobody's saying he's 100% healthy. And he hasn't spoken because the Ayatollah would sit and he'd spew hate from a form of a throne, not as nice as a throne. I like the English throne much better, but it was a fancy chair. But he'd spew hate from his chair. But you'd see him a lot, right? This one we haven't seen at all. So that could be for a lot of different reasons. We don't know, Peter, if he's dead or not.
And now that you've announced...
I will say this, nobody's seen him, which is unusual.
Something else. Now that you've announced that the U.S. has destroyed all of Iran's mine-laying ships, why can't the U.S. just immediately reopen the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, we could, but it takes two to tango. We have to get people to take their billion-dollar ship and you know, drive it up. When Pepe has his big sugar ships coming around and they cost $1 billion, and we say, I think it's okay now, Pepe, take your ship, drive it through the Strait of Hormuz. He may say, let me wait a little while, because ship owners and the, you know, these ships are very expensive. They could cost up to $2 billion. So they don't want to take a chance that, gee, I think you'll be okay. They got to know it. So they don't have to set, you know, we don't know if they even set any mines. But the thought that they may have is enough to keep people from saying, we don't need it. Now, we are pounding that area, that coast.
Sorry.
As you know, left side, we're pounding it, like really pounding it hard. And again, they may have no mine set. We hit every one of their mine droppers. They call it the mine layers, right? The ships. They're pretty sophisticated ships.
Any ship can lay those mines. It's mines. You literally just have to throw them over the side. Like, you can have mine layer ships, but you don't need them.
One of them is gone, but it only takes one. So it's a little unfair. You know, you win a war, but they have no right to be doing what they're doing. But we're hitting them very hard, and today is a big day where we're pounding a certain area that has very much to do with the Strait. And I think we'll get it going very soon. In addition,
pounding an area that has very much to do with the Strait. Man. He's on a roll today, huh? Jesus Christ.
We do have other nations coming in. You need people to watch and people to see. We have other nations coming in. Yes, please.
If the United States is working to secure the Strait of Hormuz for the benefit of other countries like China, and our allies aren't yet stepping up to your standard, is the United States getting back to being the world's policeman?
Look, the United States should not be very much involved. They can on a certain basis. They've been doing it for a long time. But I've always said, if you look back years ago, I said, why aren't we being reimbursed? You know, these are the richest countries in the world. Why aren't we being reimbursed for maintaining the Hormuz Strait? And why aren't we being reimbursed for that? I've said that for years. You can look, go back. They reported on it yesterday. I've been saying a lot of things about the Straits. Number one, I said it's the one.
Say a lot of stuff about the Straits too.
An advantage they have, but that's a suicidal advantage because they kill themselves more than they kill the rest of the world. And there are things you can do with time. There are other things you can do, but I think we're going to have the situation straighten out pretty quickly, and I think we're going to have some good help, and I think we're going to be disappointed in some nations too. And I'll let you know who those nations are.
One of your advisors, David Sachs, said the other week that the U.S. should, quote, declare victory and get out of the Iran war. He also warned that if the conflict escalates, Israel may contemplate the use of a nuclear weapon. Has he shared that assessment with you?
No, yes. And Israel wouldn't do that. Israel would never do that.
And, I believe you.
There's a theory. You pounded them to hell and you can just leave now and it'll take 10 years for them to build back not nearly what they have right now. And I guess that's another theory, but we want
to... It apparently took 6 months to go from the total eradication of their nuclear production facilities to them being weeks away from building a nuclear weapon.
have it ended so that another president doesn't have. Look, for 47 years, no president was willing to do what I'm doing, and they should have done it a long time ago. It would have been a lot easier. There's no president that.
What do you think it'll take for Trump to be considered unfit to serve as president? I mean, I consider him unfit to serve as president. I don't know what you mean. Like, according to who? The Republicans? Never. It'll never, ever, ever happen. At all. And this is, if there might be presidents in the future that are so bad that we consider Trump to be a relatively high watermark. I'm not joking. Again, the whole purpose for neo-fascism is to provide a pretext of you're giving people a culture war battle to fight so that they don't notice as you advance the neoliberal aim. I don't think the underlying conditions that produce Trump are getting any better anytime soon. President Jake Paul could be.
Wanted to do it. And yet every president knew. I've spoken to a certain president who I like, actually, a past president, former president. He said, I wish I did it. I wish I did. But they didn't do it. I'm doing it. Yeah.
Which president?
Trump, but competent is a terrifying thought. No, no, no. You misunderstand. Incompetence is part of the deal. There's no competent version of Trump because incompetence is how he exists and why he exists. I used to worry about this. I used to worry like, well, Trump is just stage one. What about like the real fascist? Real fascism is no longer possible. It can't be done. You can't actually have a unifying ideology about rallying behind the nation state blood and soil. You can't actually do that here. We've advanced beyond that point in society. We can't return to it. People are too attached to their own lives. All we can really do now is like, sit back and go, you know, comatose, go catatonic while our country is stripped for parts. I don't really think fascism is possible. That requires too much public investment.
I can't tell you that. I don't want to embarrass him. It would be very bad for his career, even though he's got no career left. Go ahead, please.
How about
the man right
Thank
there?
You, sir. Mr. President, you mentioned that you're not entirely sure who you're dealing with, who the leadership is in Iran. Do you see a viable opposition movement still in that country following all of the protests that we had seen before the airstrikes and kind of an opposition movement that could become a viable leader in Iran?
Well, the biggest problem, and you know, we have brave people in this room, but the biggest problem that I see is that, you know, they put out a warning, and we have the warning, we get everything they get, and it said any protester that goes onto the street will be immediately shot and killed. This is a little tougher than the American way. This is not quite as tough as nobody can believe it. So I can't imagine. They don't have guns. And the other ones have guns. Highly sophisticated machine guns and AK-47s and other kinds.
Highly sophisticated AK-47s, you know. New tech. I mean, it was new back in Trump's day, yeah.
Tons of guns. And they did that with the women. So the women had 250,000, even 500 people protesting a year ago. And they shot women right through the middle of the forehead with snipers. And they didn't have to do many. About 10 went down bleeding profusely. And 250 to 500,000 women went running in the other direction. Because they can be brave, but they're not stupid. And they have no gun. And you have snipers in buildings specifically for this reason. So a woman goes down falling, bleeding from the head, and it doesn't take long for that to spread. And when that spreads, that crowd dispenses. And nobody else has been able
what
to do that
about?
To the extent that these
either.
People, these people are violent. They killed a minimum 2 weeks ago, 32,000 people. So, and they put out actually a notice 2 days ago. If you protest, you will be shot and killed. So, I don't know. I would say Mike Johnson's the only person I know who's the courage to go out in that kind of an atmosphere. I don't think so. Yeah.
Have your advisors told you anything in terms of how long we can expect gas prices as high as they are right now?
I don't need advisors to tell me that. I know what it is. You know, the Prime Minister of UK, United Kingdom, yesterday told me, I'm meeting with my team
to make a determination. I said, you don't need to meet it with the team. You're the prime minister. You can make your own. Why do you have to meet with your team to find out whether or not you're going to send some minesweepers to us or to send some boats? I said, you don't have to meet with your team. It's the same thing here. I can tell you that when this is over, oil prices are going to go down very, very rapidly. So is inflation. So is everything else. But frankly, much more important than short-term or even long-term oil prices, you can't let the most violent, vicious country in the last 50 years have a nuclear weapon, because the Middle East will be gone. Israel will go first, without question, and they'll certainly take a shot at us before we get our act together and say we got to take them out. You can't let Iran, who's truly a nation of great terror and power. Look what happened in the last 2 weeks. They weren't supposed to go after all these other countries in the Middle East. Those missiles were set to go after them. So they hit Qatar, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait. Nobody expected that. We were shocked. And the other one, you know, they fought back. They could have yielded. But think of it, if we weren't around.
They were getting their operational planning from John Stewart.
They had tremendous power. They had thousands of missiles, most of which we've terminated. They had thousands of drones. They were making drones and missiles all over the place. We've knocked out most of those factories. I mean, now they're sending out two or three missiles. Now, you know, they've still got some. They might have 8% left. But mostly they've been eliminated. They've been terminated by what we did and what Israel did, too. Yeah, please.
Israel is expected to expand its ground offensive in southern Lebanon to go after Hezbollah. Have you discussed that with Israeli leaders?
Yeah.
And does the United States support a potential Israeli invasion of Lebanon?
Yeah, no, I did. And I know, though, look, Hezbollah is a problem. It's been a problem for a long time, not just now. And it's a certain area, because I was with the other night a person whose parents live in Lebanon. This is a very substantial person, wealthy person, whose parents live in Lebanon. I said, really? How do you live in Lebanon? Your parents are living? Oh, yeah, they live there. And over the years, they've gotten used to the fact that it's being bombed. But they explained to me that it's really a different section of Lebanon. It's the section where Hezbollah is. And they get used to it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, people live in Ukraine. You would think they wouldn't live in Ukraine, but they live in
A little unkind of a comparison there, I think.
Ukraine. I don't know that I'd do that, but they live in Ukraine. They live in Lebanon. Hezbollah is a big problem, and they're rapidly being eliminated. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate it.
Incredible stuff, really. He's been on a roll, really. He was on Air Force One answering questions. He was here at the Kennedy Center, which is closed to the public now, answering questions. And then afterwards, he answered questions in the dang White House.
I like it.
Which he's still doing. And I guess I just want to catch up with I don't know why I want to, really. I don't often watch Trump talk to the press, because the press are utterly gutless. Like, the American press are the most cucked people alive. They will never. This is easily the worst handled war in American history. Nothing else comes close. It's a joke. Every day there are new punchlines. And journalists just never call. They just ask him. They just ask him questions. They never ask him follow-ups. They never challenge him. They just ask him, what do you think about this? Oh, okay, gotcha. Writing that down. That's what journalism is in this country. Oh, Vance is going to be here. I didn't know he was alive. He's been suspiciously quiet since the invasion began.
We'll establish a new task force aimed at rooting out that fraud, returning potentially billions or tens of billions or even hundreds of billions of dollars to the American taxpayer. This task force will be chaired by the vice president.
Shut up, Chud.
You're going to hopefully find out about it, and you're going to have to do what you have to do. JDs, this will not be like a Kamala, where she was put in charge of the border and she never went there. JD, councils, they don't have government, they don't have police, they shoot each other all over the place. They come here and they steal $19 billion. That's crazy. And
Somalis?
Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, that's who he's talking about.
I hope this is part of it, but she married her brother, supposedly. I mean, there's a lot of documentation. That means she's here illegally, and she's a congresswoman. And I hope you're going to be looking at that, or somebody is, all right? Because she's one of the ringleaders here. She's bad news, really bad news. She's so bad for our country. Anyway, J.D., please say a few words.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't really matter. These pathetic deflections to old culture war issues in an attempt to distract from the fact that Iran and then prior to that Epstein have just been utter fail. The big three for this administration are Minneapolis, Epstein, and now the Iran war. Just a massive, like, just a chain of failure. These like, little, oh, okay, let's get back to it. The Somalis, they like the Somalis bit, don't they? It doesn't mean anything. It's just weakness.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. This is a very important whole of government approach to tackle the fraud problem. And let me just tell one story.
No one's paying attention to this fraud in Minnesota. Nobody's paying attention to this. Nobody cares about this. They don't. They're just trying to find older points to defer to.
Does is force the entire apparatus of the federal government to do two things. Stop the fraud on the American taxpayer.
So now we went from by far the most expensive drugs anywhere in the world, prescription drugs. Question?
Yes, Mr. President. You said during your State of the Union that this type of fraud, the corruption, is the type of thing that can...
You can always tell when it's a Chud reporter because they sound like they're 12. It's these like sniveling neo-Nazis who work at fake journalistic outlets that make up one half of the White House press pool now.
Thread the fabric of a nation. Why do you suppose then that leaders in recent memory haven't looked at the systemic amount of fraud that's taking place?
And their questions are always so fucking long too. They have them written on their hands like a fucking cheating schoolboy. How many compliments? How many leading questions can I fit in here? They don't even trust Trump to give his own leading answer. They have to lead the question.
And
because they're crooked. They make money. They gain power. They use it for power. Like with the Somalians, they vote in a block.
Somalians.
100%.
So I'm very happy about it. And look, I think that I know what you're trying to do, Phil. You're trying to drive a wedge between members of the administration, between me and the president. What the president said consistently, going back to 2015, and I agreed with him, is that Iran should not have a nuclear weapon.
Oh, no. Hold on.
A highly corrupt person. Bragg, the DA, is a corrupt person. They're all corrupt. These are corrupt people. And we got too many of them in our country. And we have to expose them, and we have to catch them. And if these two guys can't, these are high IQ people. I've always liked high IQ. These are high IQ people.
Me too, Mr. President.
If they don't do it, we're going to go a long way, fellas, to find somebody else that's going to. We have no choice. If honestly, and they may not do a good job. If they don't do a good job.
Thank you, sir.
No. It's possible. If they don't do a good job. The country's sort of in trouble. Yes, go ahead.
JD's self-awareness is the biggest flaw, which is exactly why I say there is no competent version of Trump. This administration is full of more competent Trumps, Miller, Vance, Rubio, and all of them are weaker than him. It's his stupidity and his incompetence that drive him forward. Everyone else is too self-conscious. They have to make a case for themselves. It's not a replicable strategy.
Thank you, sir. Two questions.
And I think they're going to do a great job. Go ahead.
First, Mr. Vice President, Democrats are already calling you the fraud czar. What's your reaction to that title? And then second, past skepticism of foreign adventurism, are you completely on board with the current war in Iran?
So I like fraud czar. It's certainly what we're going to do. And look, we have to do it. As the president said, this is a problem that has festered in this country for far too long. And far too few people have actually wanted to do anything about it. That's what makes this administration different, is that we actually tackle the problems the American people have been confronting. So I'm very happy about it. And look, I think that I know what you're trying to do, Phil. You're trying to drive a wedge between members of the administration, between...
Insecure. You're being asked this question from somebody who's on your side. I know what you're trying to do when a person is trying to pitch you one. Mm-mm. Weak.
Super weak.
The
president said consistently, going back to 2015, and I agreed with him, is that Iran should not have a nuclear weapon. We have taken this military action under the president's leadership. I think all of us, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, should pray for a success and pray for the safety of our troops. That's the approach that I've taken. Make it as successful as possible.
So there's no hesitation, given your past statements, with the current operation?
What do you mean there's no hesitation with my...
Oh, God.
...past statements?
Given your skepticism of foreign adventurism, you were a critic of the global war on terror previously.
Well, I think one big difference, Phil, is that we have a smart president, whereas in the past we've had dumb presidents. And
incredible. The same line. That's the line you're going with again, that really popular one? Well, the difference between... The difference between us and the last 50 times we did this and failed and all the times that I said that this was going to happen and that I don't support it is that this time we have a genius like Trump in charge.
I trust President Trump to get the job done.
Dude, Vance's 2028 candidacy is dead in the water. Seriously, the fact that his strategy for the Iran war was just to go dark. I think Rubio is a much, much more likely case for the future.
Do a good job for the American people and to make sure that the mistakes of the past aren't repeated. Absolutely.
Thanks, sir.
So JD has been great, but here's the simple thing. And I have, you know, some people, I don't want wars. I want wars less than almost anybody. Peace through strength. But you know what? I've watched Iran for a long time. I've called them out 20 years ago when I was a civilian that liked watching the world. And they're violent, vicious people, the leadership, violent, vicious people. They killed 32,000 protesters over the last 3 weeks. They put out a memo 2 days ago saying, if you protest, we will shoot you and kill you in the streets. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, oh, there's not that many protests. Well, first of all, there are bombs going off all over the place. But even if there weren't, who's going to do that? You know, who's going to do it? They don't have any guns, and the other ones have latest in line machine gun, right? And every form of gun you can have. They shoot them right through the middle of the head. They're violent people. If they had a nuclear weapon, they would use it. And sometimes I'll have some of the people that, you know, feel very strongly, like I do about wars, and I say, do you think Iran is violent and do you think their people are violent? Yes, leadership. Do you think they should have a nuclear weapon, which is massive power? I don't even want to discuss how powerful, because it's depressing. And they said, no, they shouldn't have. Definitely they shouldn't have. I said, and you don't want to fight war? No, no, we don't want to fight war. So these are naive people that, frankly, are stupid. If you believe that Iran should have a nuclear weapon, there's something wrong with you, because they would use it within, the only question is within 1 hour if they get it or 1 day. They will use it, and they will blow up the entire Middle East, not just Israel. They'll start with Israel, but they will blow up. And you got to see that when they unexpectedly started sending missiles to every country within 1,000 miles of them. I mean, they're blowing up countries that were
unexpectedly
neighbors.
Nobody could have guessed they would
not
do this.
Not necessarily. Some friends. They actually were blowing up some friends. They were blowing up the people that handle their accounts. They're sending thousands of missiles into countries that didn't expect to be in the war because they wanted to take over the Middle East. And if I didn't terminate Barack Hussein Obama's horrible Iran nuclear deal, which I did in my first term, one of the dumbest deals, perhaps the dumbest deal because of the danger involved, you would have had them have a nuclear weapon 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. They would have used it, blown up the Middle East, and they would have then come after us. And if these gorgeous B-2 bombers, give me that bomber, Andrews. Let me just hug that little sucker. Give me that bomber over there. Thank you. You knew immediately which one. This looks small, but in person it's very big. Because it's the only plane capable of carrying a 200,000-pound bomb. So I don't know how they do it, because it's very sleek and nice, but it carries a lot of weapons and there's a lot of bombs. But had I not sent this incredible machine, times numerous others, to hit Iran at midnight with no moon, dead dark, every single bomb was dropped right down the chute that it was supposed to hit. How they do it, who knows? Nobody else can figure. No other country can do it. No other country has our military or even close. And I think we've probably proven that with Venezuela and now with because we have done a number in Iran. But if I didn't do that, if I didn't decimate, I call it their nuclear dust, they would have had a nuclear weapon within 1 month after that bomb.
I think I understand now. Nobody smarter than Trump could pull this off. You can actually see it's a deliberate strategy. The most evil company in the world, Palantir, Alex Karp deliberately plays up his like cocaine addicted, weird, like jittery bullshit. The idea that the only way you can really pitch the public onto the agenda of the bourgeoisie is to really sell it as this like madman's theory. You need somebody who's crazy. You need somebody who's eccentric and eclectic and so on. I think they understand that you're pretty dead in the water with people like Vance. These like sniveling, sneering, insincere, obviously paid to say this. It's like Keir Starmer, right? Like the least popular guy. Everyone knows what a weasel looks like, but a lot of people don't really know how to react to this.
Bombing took place, and they would have used it on first Israel and then the Middle East. And you know that because all of those missiles that were launched against their neighbors were set long ago, long before they knew they would be using them this quickly. Had we not done this, you would have had a nuclear war that would have evolved into World War III. And more important, this is a war that there would have been nothing left. So we've done a great thing. The people that say it's okay for a very sick ideology, a very sick country in terms of its leadership, very good people, great people. But the people that say that, I think they're actually, they're either evil or they're stupid. So if you believe that Iran should not have a nuclear weapon, they should not have it, then you have to absolutely love what I've done, because in 2 weeks we have decimated them. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. They have no anti-aircraft weapons. They have no leadership. The leadership is gone. But then they set up a new leadership to go and name a new leader, and that's leadership is gone. And now they think maybe the sun is gone. They're all gone. My biggest problem is I have no idea who we're talking to, because nobody ever heard of any of these people. They're all dead. But we did a job for the world, not a job for us, for the whole world. We took the worst country in 50 years and maybe longer from the ideological standpoint, a country that wanted to blow up the world, a country that is sick. Sick.
All right, I'm back. You have
and
fun with them?
And it has a religious fervor. And when you add religion, you know, people don't realize more people died in religious wars than every other war put together.
The sun is gone.
And that's what you would have had here.
Oh, Reddit atheism? Am I coming back to Reddit atheism? Is it finally time? Is it here? Trump's an atheist.
And it was a terrible thing. I'm very proud of what we did. And I think JD understands better than most. If you give Iran a nuclear weapon, at least a very substantial part of the world would be blown up, and it'll be used almost immediately. Yes.
Oh, I'm sure. I wonder who pitched him on this. Like, I wonder if like Witkoff or Kushner or Netanyahu. I wonder who was the main architect of convincing Trump that Iran is the greatest threat to the world. You know, because Trump did not give much of a shit. Prior, Lindsey Graham, it might have been Graham. Yeah, there are a lot of people who are trying to use Trump as like the advent of their doomsday cult.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You don't mind if I keep this here, do you? Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know, I used to look at it and I said, it's a piece of art, but how can it be effective? It's so stealth. Think of it, Peter. 1 a.m, it flies in and they say, sir, they're in Iranian airspace. And I say, oh, and I'm watching it from the Situation Room with a couple of other very smart people, including some good generals, real generals, not television generals. And all of a sudden you see they start diving.
Bolton?
And you see him, 30,000, 20,000. Boy, I said, that was a lot. They went down fast to aim it. And they know they're coming, and they're smart, and they never saw him. And they're firing a little bit, but they don't know what they're firing at because they can't see a thing. And then you hear the biggest explosions that anybody's ever heard. Those are the biggest bombs. Outside of nuclear, those are the biggest bombs. And you say, what technology we have. What a great country. I built it during my first term. I built it. I didn't know I'd have to use it this much in my second term. But we had
every word Trump says supports your madman's theory. I think it's kind of like the gist with Javier Milei as well. I think there is a recognition that is spreading that in countries like America or Western Europe or whatever, where there is so much abundance that it does not make sense that everyone is getting poorer year after year. In countries like this, it might actually be impossible to make a logical argument for why the wealthy need more money. You know, like it's possible that there is no rational arbiter. There's no one with good enough rhetoric that they could get up in front of a podium and say, like, this is my case for why the billionaires don't have enough. You need some kind of incoherent gibberish every point at once. Greenland, Canada, Mexico, Venezuela, Iran, Lebanon, everywhere, you know, like the movie, everywhere all at once. The insane guy. No one can even talk to him. No one knows what the fuck he's saying, because at least then the entertainment value, or I don't know, the distractive value of it, I guess, it does a better job distracting people than any real argument could make. That might be the future for all of our countries, everything in the West.
Incompetent president. We had an incompetent administration. And if that group of people in any form, whether it's Kamala, him, it doesn't matter, would have had another 4 years, we would have had no country left. Yeah, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You say you're doing a job for the rest of the world. In your conversations with your counterparts, are they thanking you? What are their conversations like when you talk about this military conflict that's taking place in Iran?
Well, they should be thanking me, because many of them get 90%. China, as an example, should be thanking us, but I don't expect to thank you, but they should be thanking us. Japan gets 95%, China 91%. Many of the countries, South Korea, gets a tremendous percentage of their oil and their energy from the straits, and, or as they call it, the strait. And they should be not only thanking us, they should be.
Do you think the next Dem president will make the media as craven as Trump did by denying access, or do we go back to our tough questions? The media has a pro-Republican bias, by like a very, very strong one, for a variety of reasons. Easier access. Media corporations are owned by billionaires. Billionaires love Trump. But I think that the Democratic Party is probably going to end up being about as craven as Trump when it comes to denying people information. Yeah. Remember how the Biden administration was with Gaza? Like, that's for me, that's my, like, warning going forward, you know? The Biden administration was quiet and ineffective on a lot of stuff, you know, like, he sort of wouldn't use the bully pulpit. But on an issue where they did need to communicate, Gaza, because the public demanded that kind of communication, they were as aggressive with their dishonesty as anything we see here.
What does surprise me is that they're not eager. Yeah, there are a couple. We'll be announcing some names. There are some that really were right up front. I would announce their name now, other than, maybe they'd prefer it not being announced for whatever reason. I will say this. It's a lot easier to get people today than it was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, before we destroyed there, before we obliterated the country, before we took out, because they're down to about 8% of their missiles. They're down to a small portion of their drones. And we've demolished many of their factories where they make the missiles and the drones, and the rest are all following. Our military has been amazing. We hit Karg Island, took out every single thing in Karg Island except one thing. We left the pipes, because if we take out the pipes, it takes a long time to build them. And at some point, something is going to happen that's positive with respect to those pipes. But there are some countries that greatly disappointed me.
And Do you think it's even true that they're low on missiles? Missiles? Possibly. Drones? No, not at all. I think they're probably down to, they have probably expended less than 20% of the total number of drones they have, and they can keep making more. Missiles are more complicated. They can only be fired from particular platforms, but a drone, you just need vzhoom, vzhoom, you know?
No. I'm the one that got them to pay from 2% to 5% of GDP, NATO. And I get along great with those countries in NATO, but I always said, you know, the problem with NATO is we'll always be there for them, but they'll never be there for us. And when I hear the UK, which was sort of considered the Rolls Royce of allies, right? Wouldn't you say? They were the oldest, and they were going to be there. And I say it would be really helpful if you'd send over a couple of ships, and if you have some minesweepers, which
they do. What are you talking about? I'm talking about how many drones Iran has.
Yeah, be very helpful. And the prime minister is a nice man. I think he's a very nice guy. He says, well, I'd like to ask my team. I said, you don't have to worry about a team. You don't have a team. You're the prime minister. You can make a decision. Well, I have to speak to my people. I said, you don't have to speak to anybody. So it was very disappointing. And then after we obliterated them, destroyed their military, the whole thing, and it became a much safer zone, he said, we're going to send over two aircraft carriers. I said, I don't want them anymore. I don't want them after we win. I want them before we start. I don't need your aircraft carriers after we've already won. So, you know, those things are very disappointing. And you have to remember, we have 45,000 troops in Japan. We have 45,000 troops in South Korea. We have 50,000 troops in Germany. We defend all these countries. And then, do you have any minesweepers? And they say, well, would it be possible for us not to get involved? I've been saying it for a long time. This is the greatest thing to come out of this. We spend trillions and trillions of dollars on NATO to defend other countries. And I always said, but if it ever comes time to defend us, they're not going to be there. Many of them would not be there. And we're going to have to start thinking more wisely in this country. Some have been very good. One or two have been great. I'll tell you the great one.
Also, mine warfare is quite dated. Mine warfare is super fucking effective. And the only reason that mine warfare is dated is because it just hasn't really been a feature of recent conflicts, you know? But, like, using mines to hold naval choke points is, and probably always will be, an insanely overpowered strategy. Like, landmines are super, super powerful on land to the extent that we banned them. They're, like, illegal internationally. But sea mines are much more dangerous than landmines, because landmines can only really be dropped on top of the ground, and sea mines can be dropped to the bottom of a trench and then, like, activate when a ship goes above them. It's pretty difficult to deal with that. Can't necessarily detect them via sonar. Minesweeping is an incredibly dangerous, delicate process. You have to basically trick these mines to activate against, like, decoy ships to blow them up.
Are at the right time. But there have been some that were right up there, Peter. They were right up there. They wanted to do it so much. Go ahead, Peter.
Thank you. You were talking about Iran a couple times today and what they did after Epic Fury began. You said they hit Qatar, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait. Nobody expected that. We were shocked. Are you surprised that nobody briefed you ahead of time that that might be their retaliation?
Nobody. No, the greatest experts. Nobody thought they were going to hit. They were, I wouldn't say friendly countries. They were like neutral. They lived with them for years.
Neutral, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. Okay. Oh, my God.
Peter, they were going to take over the Middle East. They were going to knock out Israel with their nuclear weapon. But after we knocked out their nuclear potential, they started building missiles, thousands and thousands of missiles. And they were going to do it with missiles while they developed. These are sick people. While they developed nuclear, somehow they were going to start at a different site because that site was, you saw the site, the mountain. They were going to go into a certain area, which we know exactly where it is, and they were going to do that. And it's incredible what we've done. I tell you, the job we've done. Do you know, if I didn't terminate Barack Hussein Obama's Iran nuclear deal, you would right now, well, Israel would be gone, it would be incinerated, and probably
maybe I don't give Obama enough credit.
And remember, they have all of those missiles. And I heard they were sending missiles to UAE. I said, that's strange. You know, UAE is like the banker for Iran. They're like the banker. Qatar, their neighbors, they got along okay. Saudi Arabia. All of a sudden, Kuwait is getting hit. Bahrain is getting hit. All these countries are getting hit. There was no expert that would say that was going to happen. It's not a question of, like, gee, should you have known? And if we did know, big deal. I mean, we have to do what we have to do. But we hit them so hard like nobody's ever been hit. We hit them very hard. And we've extinguished most of their missiles. We've extinguished most of their drones. We've extinguished most of the places where the missiles and the drones are built. We've fully extinguished two layers of leadership and probably a third, if you believe some story. So we only have one thing, to have a little choke point. And they've used it very well for years, but it doesn't work. But I think this, if some of these countries that we've been good to for years, and maybe more important than that, some of these countries that get 90% and 95% of their energy from Hormuz, the Strait, Hormuz, a famous, wonderful, beautiful place, but you wouldn't want to be necessarily sailing a boat there right now. Okay, you know why? Not because of them, because of us. Because we've taken out their entire navy. We've taken out every one of their drone, they call it a drone layer, a mine layer. There's specific boats that are meant to put mines on. How would you like to have a nation that has 22 boats where their sole function, they're very different looking boats, you wouldn't want one for your family, they're not pretty. Their sole function is to lift a mine into the water and drop it a certain number of feet down. But they had 22 of them. We've taken out all of them. But you can probably drop them off on the bus. So we don't even know. By the way, we don't know that any mines have even been dropped. But the thought that they would scares people that have billion-dollar ships. Yeah. Please.
Thank you, President Trump. I'd like to ask Vice President about his plans to, after possible fraud in California and New York, you know, of course, about Minnesota. And President Trump, first,
boring.
You said earlier today that the new Supreme Leader, Buttigieg, maybe you don't know if he's dead or alive. There are a couple interesting reports about him today. There's one report that he just narrowly escaped death.
How do you feel about this reporting, if it's true? Breaking, senior White House staffer saying Trump is regretting the decision to strike Iran. Having assumed being a wartime president would result in the same 80% plus approval ratings George W. Bush received. Sending our troops to die for poll numbers, unbelievable. Well, I would like to see some more verification to that reporting than a tweet, but it also sounds like him, so I believe it. I mean, it seems in line with his behavior to me. Bush was following up on 9/11. He doesn't know what's going on.
Because he's got no legs.
What?
That they were coming over here, and I'm dealing with very smart players. These are smart people. They don't get there. You know, when you deal with some of these people, you're dealing with high level intellect, very high IQ people. These are not Jasmine Crockett and her group. These are smart people. These are really smart people.
Mr. President, Jasmine Crockett lost the Senate primary. It's you need to update your rhetoric. Sir, she already lost.
And violent people and vicious people and some very nice people. And some are very nice but violent. They turn violent. But you know what? If I didn't do what I did, we would have been hit. Number one, very important, was the termination of Obama's horrible deal. And number two, this beautiful plane hitting them 8 months ago, whatever it was, and taking out their nuclear capacity. That totally threw them for a loop. If they had that bomb at either time, 5 years ago or 7 months ago, if they had that bomb would have been used almost immediately.
Mr. President, two questions on domestic policy, bringing it close to home. First of all, the Save America Act, what are you expecting this week when this vote takes place in the U.S. Senate? Will the vice president's vote be necessary?
I think it's imperative that it gets done. I'm not sure it is, you know. The Democrats have horrible policy. It's just incredible. But they stick together. It's the one thing they do. Their Supreme Court members stick together. Those appointed by a Democrat stick together. If Barack Hussein Obama appoints a member of the Supreme Court, that member never goes against.
Opposite whining. It's always whining. Always, no matter what. He's never boastful about anything other than what he has done. He's only boastful about himself. In all other contexts, it's always whining.
Against him. And they're proud about it. They say, I don't give a damn if it's good or bad. That man appointed me and I'm never going to let him down. I don't say that's right, wrong. I just say they stick together. Republicans go the opposite way. If Donald Trump appointed me, I'm going to show the world that I can be totally just and I can be independent of Donald Trump. He's not controlling me. And I don't want to control them. I just want to have smart decisions. They gave us a decision on tariffs the other day that won't change tariffs. I can do it a different way. I always knew I could do it a different way. This was a little quicker, a little easier. But the world that has mail-in ballots like we do, everybody wants voter ID. Everybody wants proof of citizenship. And most people don't want mail-in ballots, okay? I can tell you that they're talking to us. It's a failed nation. They have no money. They have no oil. They have no nothing. They have nice land. They have nice landscape, you know. It's a beautiful island. I think they have great people. You know, I know so many people from Cuba that were treated terribly, and they're over here, and they became rich. They're very entrepreneurial people, very smart. I know a lot from Florida, especially. There's so many people. A friend of mine started over with nothing. He's now
your eyebrows are hitting the sad angle. I'm just getting my dose of this.
I'm a Cuban.
For the month, okay?
I also know I was just with a fantastic person who's Cuban and made a fortune in sugar. You know, Fanjul family, right? And this family wants to go back to Cuba to visit it. They haven't been back in like 50 years or something. They come from Cuba, and we'll see what happens. They were asking me about that. They want to go.
Are we done?
Reported earlier today that 80% of the primary task force that focuses on investigating terrorism is working without pay. So should that impact Democrats' decision?
The Democrats aren't paying. The Democrats. We have a deal.
Great, phenomenal. Let me out of here. Holy shit. Hypnotic effect over time. Jesus Christ. You missed the part where he said he'd be taking Cuba? Yeah, he's been threatening that for a while. And I'm sure he will.